You're listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on bingemedia.net. And now, a BingeCast commentary.
Welcome to a BingeCast movie commentary. I am Pete Sednick, and I'm here with one of my good buddies, Jack Falvey. What's happening, buddy?
What's up, man?
Hey! Fantastic. I love it.
I was on a couple of shows, and I didn't play that drop when they called my name,
yeah.
And they got upset with me, so I'm just like, fuck it, it's everywhere now.
Okay, yeah, you know what? I always forget that intro. So, like, the last time I was on the BingeCast, I was scrambling to get mine.
Yeah, yours is fucking fantastic.
I never remember to do it, so that's the thing.
Yeah.
But I can't intro myself. That's ridiculous.
No, that would be too much. It's just, nobody does that.
No. Well, welcome, everybody, to the Ocean's 11 commentary, the 2001.
One.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This was, I asked Jack today, hey, I got nothing going on tonight. There's a lot of shit going on in the world right now. I'm bored. You want to do something? He's like, yeah, let's record. He said, I'll think about it. Comes back, Ocean's 11. I think that was about like an hour ago. He says, Ocean's 11. I said, sure, let's do it.
All right.
So that's how prepared we are with this.
Yep.
We have IMDb on standby for all trivia. Oh,
so, better believe it.
Yes. Jack and I are queued up on our DVDs or Blu-rays, or as I'm working with the DVD stupid snap case, the worst cardboard snap case. You know, I don't know why that was even a thing.
I remember. Okay, so let's just talk about that for a second, because I remember. I think the first DVD I ever saw was Heat. And Warner Brothers, who produced this movie and obviously produced Heat,
yeah,
they were the ones who came up with that bullshit clamshell cardboard case.
It's awful.
I just remember like seeing it for the first time and just sort of like taking it apart to see how it works.
Yeah.
And just trying to understand like who the fuck thought of this? Like this is a delicate thing. You got one scratch on this disc and it's game over. So what are we doing here? You know,
it's crazy how this thing's made. So like on the back of the cover, on the top and bottom, there's a plastic flap that snaps the actual DVD cover art into like a tray. It is bizarre. It is
really bizarre. Bad design.
And like after this came out, people were like, in a production meeting for the DVD release, should we go with the classic DVD case or do you like the one that Ocean's 11 and Heat had? Oh. Gotta get that Ocean's 11 case. That shit is top notch, baby. If Warner Brothers is doing it, we're doing it.
Oh my god!
And it just looks terrible on the if you're a collector, DVD collector, these things are the worst.
Oh, just terrible! Like you could have like a nice alphabetized shelf, and most of your titles are all of a certain length, height, and width, and then all of a sudden you come across fucking Casablanca, and it's this bullshit fucking monstrosity sticking out of the cupboard. Then you got like Heat, and then you got Ocean's 11. It's like, what were we thinking? You know? What were we thinking?
And if you, I want to go back to monstrosity. You know, I'll stay with monstrosity right now. That's one of my favorite lines in this movie. Some gaudy monstrosity. I love that line. But if you put a DVD to the right of your snap case, you'll never get it all the way to the back of the shelf on the first try.
You always have to take the clamshell out. And then, dude, oh my god, this is bringing back fucking memories. Oh my god.
It gets terrible. Stuck every time. You almost have to line up the back of it together and put them together on the shelf. Well, anyway, everyone's waiting with their DVDs and their remotes. We are at 15 seconds. On our screen, it's the Warner Brothers logo.
Yes.
Nice and blue.
Mm-hmm.
So if everyone is there, we're going to do a countdown. 3, 2, 1, go. And on go, we're going to hit play and talk and drink. Are you drinking tonight?
I am. I've got a High Life here.
Nice. I went to my local liquor store. Zero High Life.
Wow.
So
Okay. Was it jammed today?
No. It's like a little rinky-dink liquor store. Like, they don't really... I find a lot of expired stuff in there, and everything's covered with dust. It's not my go-to, but it's right next to me, so.
Dude, you gotta have that. We've got a place, this is not related to the movie at all, but whatever. We've got a place around the corner from us called Wines and More, and it's like a fucking warehouse size room, right?
Nice.
It's got one of those, like, regular buyer programs and all that shit.
Oh.
But, you know, the fucking resourceful motherfuckers around here, instead of going there, you go a little bit farther down the street and around the corner to this little shop owned by this guy. And, you know, it's kind of like what you're describing. Some stuff's expired. You're not necessarily going to find exactly what you were looking for. No. But nobody's ever there because they don't fucking know it exists. So
everything's dusty. Like,
clean
your bottles, bro.
How much is a Swiffer? You know, this bottle of champagne is $49 bucks. Like, what the fuck, you know? And take five of those and buy a Swiffer. Christ.
The aisles are so tight. Like, if someone's, like, leaving, I have to, like, step aside for this person to leave. It's ridiculous.
Oh, terrible. Terrible.
Anyway, we are at 15 seconds. Warner Brothers logo on the screen. I'm going to do a countdown. 3, 2, 1, go. On go, we're going to hit play. All right? Here we go. 3, 2, 1, go. I have my audio up a little bit here.
Nice.
So I didn't have a lot of time to think about questions and just thinking about this movie at all. I just remember a few lines and the cast, but the one thing kept coming up was like, if they were to remake this again with a male cast, I was thinking, like, who would they keep? Or let's not remake it, but let's say this was coming out now. Who would they keep and who would they get rid of? And I kept going to, like, I don't think Clooney would draw.
I feel like this is a Chris Pine or, like,
right? Idris Elba lead or something. Like, it's
Maybe. Like a Chris Evans, Chris Pine, Chris Pratt, one of the fucking Chrises. Like, I feel like that's this role now.
A Hemsworth.
Maybe.
You're thinking more American, though? Like, no accent? No accent.
Probably.
Yeah. But I don't think Clooney's got the draw.
No, I don't think he does. I don't think he cares to anymore. He's got family and all that stuff now. That's why he hasn't really been doing
it. But
much.
I could see Pitt still doing it. Damon still doing it. Andy Garcia, I could still see him be the bad guy. I don't think Julia Roberts would be the female, though.
Well, you know, whenever you and I are thinking about doing a commentary, I mean, obviously we've had a couple of themed ones, but I always try to think, it's like, okay, so there's a whole subset of shit that, like, I'm not even going to bring up because it wouldn't be fun if you and I were on it, right? Like, I'm not going to bring up a fucking, like, I don't know, some drama from the 50s or something. Like, if I can get good Drew, he'd be a good one for that, right? So, like, okay, it's got to tick a couple of boxes, right? So the first one is, like, is it related to something in the Spielberg 80s milieu, right? Right? Because, like,
you're not wrong.
Yeah, like, and it's funny because, so you would suggest, you're like, Cruise War of the Worlds? I'm just like, I didn't see it on 10. But I fucking knew that was coming, right? Like, of course.
I wanted to keep it under 2 hours. So I was looking at, like, Minority Report. That's, like, over 2.
Right. so in thinking about it, I don't know if I really talk about this movie very much, but I love this movie. Like, this is
a blast, dude.
I think it's my favorite Steven Soderbergh movie. And I think it's, like, my favorite kind of like, Hollywood. Like, real interesting cross-section between, like, this is a Hollywood A-list movie.
Yeah.
But it's also this, like, really cool genre movie, too, about a heist. And it like, works really well as both, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I don't know. This seemed like a good good pull. So hopefully this makes for a good show.
No, I'm fine with this. I mean, I like to do movies that I've seen more than, you know, three times, and I've seen this like a gazillion times.
Absolutely.
Because this was like, I want to say 01 was when I started like kind of collecting DVDs or buying specific ones. Because I don't really know like when DVDs were popping out. I don't know, but this one was like...
Oh, the case, you mean? the clamshells.
But I remember this was one of like probably one of the first 10 maybe I owned.
Nice.
I don't know. I could be way off, but like I just remember this being one of the early ones I owned, and I was always watching this.
So it's funny that you bring up the clamshell thing too, because there's something about physical media that isn't talked about very much, and that's the fact that like the reason why a lot of Warner Brothers movies came out in those clamshell cases and they were first is because Warner Brothers was developing DVD technology. So they were the first ones out the gate to start producing the stuff. And it's interesting now because Sony owns Blu-ray, and they haven't chosen to capitalize on like, controlling the production of Blu-ray like across the board. I think they get a piece of every Blu-ray that's sold, but it's kind of interesting. Like, I don't know, the development of the fucking media that came out. So I don't know. It's thinking about that stuff, but
that's like the Jay Baruchel dialogue he has in Tropic Thunder when he's
absolutely.
You talking to me? You've been talking to me this whole time?
Oh my god, I haven't seen that one. Oh, look at that, Trump Plaza.
There you go.
That's a way back. But yeah, so I remember the first time being aware of this movie. You know, obviously this is right after September 11th, a couple months later.
And
at that point, I mean, I had really no concept of who any of these people were. I think I recognized Matt Damon. I think I knew Brad Pitt.
Well, how old were you at this point?
Oh my God, 2001? I was 10 when this came out. So Clooney I knew as Batman, you know? And I was too young to know that it was the shitty Batman, so... So I remember my dad talking about going to see this in the theater, and I was like, why the fuck would you like, well, at that time it was probably just, you know, wasn't why the fuck, so why would you want to go see this when you could go and see like the next Spider-Man movie or whatever, you know, cause you're a kid, like, you know,
absolutely.
You don't know who these people are. You don't have any interest in the fucking heist or whatever. I love this shit. So you've heard that this is all based on Leo DiCaprio and Tobey Maguire, right? And they're gambling at this time.
No, I didn't know about this.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a reference to that. They say something. I think there's a line in here that's a reference to them.
Oh.
I can't remember what it is. But yeah, because they're supposed to be like notorious gamblers back in the day. Oh, Ben Affleck, I think, got involved with them too.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Look at Brad Pitt's shirt. It's fucking like steel, I think. And the tie is steel.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. Crazy. Crazy. I mean, this is another great role for him, but like it's funny. He just got an Oscar.
Right?
Not to timestamp this too much, but he's just had such a solid career for so long.
Absolutely, man.
So, are you much of a Soderbergh guy outside of this? Like, do you give a shit about any of his other movies? Or?
Hold on, let me pull up his the old res.
Just so this is a guy who I have not seen a lot of his stuff just because it's so like all over the place. All
right, let's see. Here we go. All right. So I never saw Sex Lies videotape. Out of Sight, is that the... No. You know what? I think I saw Out of Sight a lot, like when it came out on DVD.
Yeah, I gotta rewatch that. I don't remember shit from it.
Also Clooney.
All Reds.
I know. I've never seen Aaron Brockovich. I love Traffic. I love Ocean's 11. Solaris, I don't really remember enjoying that. Ocean 12's okay. The Good German, I saw actually own The Good German. That's okay. That's, you know, kind of slow. The Ocean's 13, Che, Part 1, Part 2, I really like. Obviously, Contagion. Haywire, I really did not like at all.
Yeah.
Because it, Gina Carano, I do not like. I think she's a horrendous actress.
Yeah, she's rough.
She can't deliver a line to save her life.
I agree.
I guess I'm, I like, I didn't mind Logan Lucky, too. That's another one.
Yeah.
I think I'm like 50-50, I guess.
Yeah.
Didn't he retire? Was he the one that retired?
Yeah. Retired and then came back like a year later.
Okay.
So, I don't know what that was about. Well, he's an interesting guy to me just because, you know, that movie Unsane, he shot the entire thing on an iPhone.
Oh, yeah. I like that, too. That was really good. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. His movie, so you mentioned Solaris, not really liking that very much. So I've never seen his Solaris, but it's kind of fucking crazy that he made that movie because that is a remake of this Russian film from like the 60s called Solaris, but it's spelled a little differently.
Oh, okay.
The Russian version is made by this guy, Andrei Tarkovsky, who made, I don't know, 8 or 9 movies. He died, I think he died of cancer. They think that he might have contracted cancer while filming one of his most famous movies called Stalker, which is this like sci-fi flick.
Yeah.
But I cannot imagine how he got Warner Brothers to pay for a remake of a 4-hour Russian sci-fi movie with George Clooney in the title role. You know, and it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, it's really weird.
That is crazy. So I think I've watched this so many times that these the lines in this movie, the dialogue, are so memorable for me. Like, I kind of know a lot of these lines.
Same. Very much so.
Have you ever seen the original?
I did watch it once with my granddad, actually.
Worth the watch?
It's a different kind of movie. It is nothing. It's really nothing like this.
Yeah.
It's a Frank Sinatra movie. It's a Rat Pack movie.
Yeah.
You know what? If you're curious and it's the kind of movie, if you're sitting around on a Sunday and, you know, it's raining outside, you're not going anywhere, and you've got like a 10-hour chunk of your day where you just gotta, you know, you want to check out some stuff, I think it's worth throwing on if you like this as much as I do.
Cool.
So this cast,
yeah,
has gotten, I mean, it was okay when I, you know, back in the day, it's one of the great, I think, fucking ensemble casts.
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, Elliot Gould, that's a guy who I'm just really carving into his filmography now. He's in so much great shit from like the 60s, 70s and 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Love this, you know, guy. Fucking, yeah. Carl Reiner's great, you know, Scott Kahn, Casey Affleck, they're great, you know?
Yeah, I love Casey Affleck in this. He's so fucking funny.
Yeah. Reminds me of my brothers so much. Oh, my God. Am I touching you?
Yeah.
Am I touching you? And... the thing I like about a great heist movie or like a whodunit movie where there's some sort of, there's like a central mystery that you're kind of paying attention to. And, you know, I like when the filmmaker can present the story and doesn't have to resort to adding an element that you didn't already know about previously to like pull off the trick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they show you all the pieces of this, and it's just because you don't understand exactly how they're going to put the information together that the audience isn't able to catch up, isn't able to get ahead of the movie telling it what's going to happen, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So I was looked up some trivia before we started.
Nice.
And this one caught me off guard. Was Don Cheadle is uncredited?
Yeah.
Not
really weird.
This is due to a dispute over his billing. He wanted above the title billing alongside Clooney, Damon, and Pitt. When he refused to be credited at all. So Cheadle doesn't even have a credit here.
So, well, I mean, he definitely learned something because, you know, after Terrence Howard bowed out.
All right.
Slid right into that role, and he was like, you give me whatever credit you want, buddy.
He called Terrence Howard. He's like, dude, didn't you learn anything from when I did Oceans?
Clooney's got great suits in this movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very well-dressed.
Pitt's got very dated suits.
He does. Yeah. They all look like he got them on sale at Kohl's.
Yeah, or Structure, when that was a thing.
Oh, man. I love their shorthand, too. There are a lot of scenes like this where the two of them are talking, and they're making references to things that you don't quite have a grasp of, but you know what they're saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I always like that.
That's a... I think there's a few credits, writing credits here. There's like, oh, well, 1960 story, screenplay. Oh, maybe there's one? Ted Griffin.
Mm. Well, you always need really specific, well-trained actors to pull that off. Because, oh, yeah. I mean, these guys are pretty young here, relatively. And that kind of dialogue can come across as cocky if you don't cast well, but...
Correct, yeah.
I don't know. They pull it off pretty well, I think.
They're cocky here, though.
Oh, for sure.
This guy is the best. My sister and I used to quote this guy all the time. From
I know, I owe you from The Thing, and I'll never forget it.
Could have been Uncut Gems right here.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
That gaudy monstrosity.
You want to knock off Terry Benedict's casinos?
This is a great little flashback here. Quick stories.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is great.
Oh, isn't there one of these that gets what? Yeah.
It kind of gets like a... I think like a clothesline type thing.
Yeah. Is it this one? Guy. Does he get nailed in the face?
Oh, with that baton.
Yeah. Oh my god. Oh, dude, that's one of the great fucking movie hits. Oh my god. That is devastating.
A Las Vegas casino. Look at this guy. It's like Paul Rubens. Oh. So it went from a tackle to a baton to fucking shooting.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. It's a sick backyard. I want that backyard.
So I just rewatched The Jerk the other day, and it looks exactly like his backyard. He has the mansion.
I love The Jerk. That movie's so funny.
250 big ones.
Somebody hates these cans.
These cans are defective. If you don't move, you're going to be defective.
A no belt on the old suit pants there. I'm not a no belt guy.
No, never. Never.
I can't do it. I don't know what it is.
It's funny, when I was younger, I used to exclusively not wear a belt.
Whoa.
And then one day I realized, just makes sense.
Yeah.
It just makes sense. Yeah, it's chaos.
It's chaos.
It is. Let's just fucking make sure everything stays where it's supposed to, right? Like, what the fuck?
All I'm thinking about is the hair that is getting caught on these chains.
Oh, it's probably painful.
Like...
Okay, like, so that is... oh, my God. You're bringing up something that, like, I feel like nobody fucking talks about.
Yeah.
I wear watches with a silicone band because, like, if I wear them with a metal band, then it's just ripping the hairs out of my arm all day. Like, yeah. It fucking hurts, man.
Absolutely. Jewelry. It's terrible. Worst. Horrendous.
Oh.
Those shades are classic, though.
Yeah. If you're an Elliot Gould guy, there's this movie. you might have seen The Long Goodbye.
No, I haven't seen that.
All right. So it's like, I think mid-70s. The Robert Altman movie. And it was, I don't think it was very like well-received when it first came out, but just imagine a mid-70s version of The Big Lebowski, and that it's Elliot Gould in the title role.
Oh, wow.
Or the lead role, rather.
I'm looking at it right now, yeah.
Yeah, it's
nothing says goodbye like a bullet is the quote on the box.
Memory serves, he has a couple of cats or something. It's been a while since I've seen it, but I just remember the big comparison was it was basically Lebowski just with Elliot Gould.
Oh, nice. Oh my god. These two fucking guys. Hey, sweetheart.
Oh man.
They're so fucking
funny. Did you see
funny.
That Soderbergh wanted this to be the fucking Coen brothers?
What do you mean? As the actors?
Yeah.
No, I did not see that.
Yeah, that's a wild idea.
That is a wild idea. I'm glad they weren't in it. Because I fucking love Casey Affleck in this.
Yeah, I think these two are great. I mean, I've never seen the Coen brothers act, so... I have no idea what to even think.
Recently just did a Scott Kahn commentary with Varsity Blues.
Never seen that.
Really?
Yeah. Never cared to watch it.
Paul would tell you don't watch it, and Tom and I would tell you to watch it.
All
right. Is this you? Is this you, the tech guy? This is like you at Palooza. It's just so... sweaty and nervous.
Okay, well, this was me at the first Palooza, for sure. I just didn't have that hat. Yeah, overdressed. Yep. It's 80 degrees and the guy's wearing a fucking three-piece suit. Come on.
So Warren, one of our fantastic listeners, was mad at me when I did the Sing Street commentary and did not hypothetically make a band using Binge Media people. So,
okay.
Maybe we should cast some heist men.
Okay.
I don't know. We don't have to force it. You know, when we get there, we can get there if we think of something. Obviously, this is Nate P, right, with the accent?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not. Yeah. We don't need to think about this one. I feel like Nate P would say, you know, we're in Bonnie Rubble, trouble, you know, that's a Nate P one.
I wonder why they made him British.
I don't know, but it is a bad accent. Like, I love this movie, but he's got a horrible accent.
And I don't even know why, like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. All right, I don't know why, but immediately, if we're going to cast this as Binge Media, I feel like Brad Pitt is fucking PJ. I can't really tell you why. It just kind of works for me. Okay.
Like, you see him at kind of the top of the heist machine?
Sort of, yeah.
Like, he's a heistman? You think he's good at planning and stuff like that?
I mean, he was the intern for so long. He's good with details, you know?
Well, who's number one? Who's the Clune dog? Can't be Ammon.
No.
Ammon's definitely one of the brothers, like Casey Affleck.
Oh, then Ammon and Cuck are going to be the brothers then, because that's a pairing I would want to see, you know? Yeah. That, the what?
Garrett's got to be. Garrett's Elliot Gould.
You want to knock off this casino? I'm just swimming in bitches right now.
Huge heist. Guys. $40 million.
It's crazy.
I don't know who this
acrobatic guy. Who would this be?
Logan?
Yes. It's Logan. I can backflip into the vault, you fucking dick.
Look at this flip, you fucking cocksucker.
Hit me into the reds.
I don't think anyone in the Binge Media community can.
We might just have to get this guy. Like, yeah. We don't. Yeah. We don't, yeah.
All right. Nobody is him. Now, Pitt just eats through this whole movie, right? That's like a thing that everyone knows.
Yes. I think every scene except for the one we just saw, he's eating or drinking something. Yeah. Dude, that's a fucking confident move. He just threw a bag of something in the back seat of a fucking
open top vehicle. Yeah, like cotton candy or something.
Yeah, like that's not going to be there when they arrive wherever they're going. Yeah. This is Jim Law. It's not...
This is Law?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Law gets to be Carl Reiner. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, none. Well, we haven't cast our other fearless leader, Alex.
I feel like he's Damon, right?
Or Bernie Mac's character.
Oh, he's Bernie Mac. You're Damon.
I'm Damon? Yeah, you know what? Because I want to be so involved, and I feel so left out all the time.
Right. It's you.
That's not bad, actually. Can I play, guys?
Yeah.
Why am I left out?
So, I had never checked out any of the comedians in Cars Getting Coffee until like a week or two ago.
Oh, Mel Brooks and him?
Yes.
Dude, I just wanted to be in that room and hang out.
There's a documentary about the two of them, too.
Really?
It's got some weird Jewish comedian kind of thing for a name. It's like... If you read the newspaper and you're not in the obituary, have breakfast, something like that.
Oh, okay.
But it came out a couple of years ago on HBO, and I believe AMG has it.
Oh.
Carl Reiner, director of The Jerk, of course, previously referenced.
Oh, look at you. Look at you.
How about that?
What the?
I was waiting for that. I'm not going to lie to you.
I wasn't even waiting for it. I'm surprised it came out. Shocked.
Yeah, when you asked about the, you know, doing a commentary and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
The inclination is, of course, this weekend to do Outbreak or Contagion. But you know what?
I know.
This movie is from the director of Contagion. So fuck yourselves.
Mm-hmm. I was even thinking like Dawn of the Dead.
Yep. Had the same thought. But it's over 2 hours.
Yeah. I love this scene. Not a word.
Yes.
He just knows what he's thinking.
So I remember my first film class, maybe 10th or 11th grade.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, sorry. Good.
The fucking teacher had two examples of great comedic timing. One of them was from The Whole Nine Yards, where there's a scene where Matthew Perry's on a boat.
Yeah.
And somebody tosses him a beer.
Oh, my God. He just doesn't even flinch. Yes.
Yeah, and he just, like, says his line back. Pretty good scene. But that's the other one was that scene right there. Great example of comedic timing with Brad Pitt.
Oh, nice. Look at the strobe effect they have going on here.
Yeah, I don't love that. Like, just get a higher frame rate camera. Soderbergh. Fuck.
Oh! This must have been before, like, the Phantom cameras, right? They couldn't really slow it down to make it look like slow-mo.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, though. Like, think about what it would take to get Damon, Pitt, and Clooney in a movie today.
Yeah. It would have to be Ocean's 15.
I guess so.
Did you see Ocean's 8?
No.
Neither did I.
I haven't seen that. I haven't seen Ocean's 12.
But you saw 13?
I did.
That's bizarre. That is bizarre.
So, not really. So I heard 12 wasn't that great. And then, like, 13 had Pacino in it. And I was kind of interested because Pacino shows up.
Yeah.
So, and then like there were references to 2 in 13, so frustrating. Oh. References to 12 in 13, but I didn't really get them, and it was whatever.
You sound like you're a little bitter there.
I mean, a little bit. They could have told me that it was going to reference.
Well, you should have watched 12 before 13. I mean, come on.
I think I'm good.
Okay.
I also love that when Damon's father shows up in 13, it's fucking Funkhauser from
Curb. Oh my god. And he's like FBI, right, in that too?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, this fucking song. This was so fucking popular.
I was going to open with this. I was going to open the show with this. I decided not to.
This was on commercials for like the following 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that Elvis... What was it? It was like the Beatles had the Beatles 1 greatest hits, but Elvis had one that might have been Elvis number ones or something.
That sounds
cool. I remember this remix was like the big new track on that CD when it came out. It's a good line.
Yeah, it's Elvis, and the one replaces the I in Elvis.
Yes.
Classic. Speaking of Elvis, isn't that where Tom Hanks was filming a movie?
I think so.
About Elvis.
Yeah, with the guy who plays Tex in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is playing Elvis.
See, look at that. Look how connected this movie is. We didn't even know.
Oh my God, it's everywhere. And I don't know if you noticed, but that's Matt Damon right there, and he was in Good Will Hunting.
Yeah, so. And The Hunt just came out, right? Is that where you're going?
Oh, dude, so many connections.
Oh, my God, it's unbelievable.
No virus is going to stop us from making these connections.
No, no. Fuck a virus, that's what I say.
Oh, this is great, too.
You're Bobby Caldwell's kid.
That's wonderful. Get in the goddamn house.
Get in the goddamn house.
See, I feel like I would be a mix of the technical guy and Elliot Gould.
Absolutely. You kidding
That's
me?
That's just my feeling.
But. So you want to go into the bar and enjoy the live show at Lollapalooza? Yeah, I do. That's wonderful. Get in the goddamn bar.
Yeah. Man, I don't think I'm going to get on stage. I think I've just got a little bit of stage fright. Oh, sorry for you. Get the fuck on the stage.
Yeah, that's great. Go get a fucking drink.
This have you ever seen The Sting?
No, I haven't. My father-in-law keeps yelling at me that I haven't seen it yet.
Well, first of all, it's a heist movie. You would love it. It's like really, it's just endlessly entertaining, very rewatchable.
Yeah.
But that's another movie that has a great heist that should I even say this if you haven't seen it?
Oh, don't spoil it. Oh, wait, hold on.
Don't spoil it.
There you go.
Nice. I'll just say that this movie and that movie have something in common when it comes to how the heist is set up that I really like. I think it adds to the rewatchability of both of them.
Okay.
There's a lot going on. We'll just put it that way. There's a lot going on, and there's a lot that they actually give the audience credit of. They give them the ability to actually see the pieces of it being put together. And then the execution makes sense based on what you've seen. If that makes sense to you.
Yeah.
Definitely move that up the docket. That's a great movie.
I will.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Oh, that's one of my. That's the fucking Chewbacca thing.
Yeah.
He speaks in fucking Japanese, and the rest of them just speak back in English.
That's fantastic. That's great. Look at the walls, the rock walls in this living room.
Oh, dude, so much cocaine funded this house.
Talk about Gordy Monstrosity, this guy. Bernie.
That's right.
Look at the Time magazine in the background. It's the same exact positioning as Gould was. Awesome.
Fucking Bernie Mac. This is one of the two great Bernie Mac roles. The other one being Bad Santa.
Yeah, I was just going to say that shit.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Fifty. Is that what he says? 50. Half. Oh, half. That's it. Half.
Half.
Half. John Ritter. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. He just needs Clooney to be 100% sure about this. And then he's right on board, right? That's all it was. Does right. Clooney Pretty have
much.
The confidence?
Dude, I love the details in this. Okay, so you see him. He's constantly taking, like, heart medication, right? Or Tums or something, right?
Yeah.
So they perfectly plant the seed for later when the shit goes down.
Yeah. I think she really likes me. Most of all, I want you guys to know these casinos. Crazy horse. I want you guys to know the quick moves out. Come on through at 10:44. Those two are fantastic.
Am I touching you?
Is that when he's got the when they got the balloons?
Yeah. Dude, fucking that would work. Like,
yeah,
you could just walk in the middle of the street with a bunch of cones, and people will just act normal. Like, if Absolutely. You just look confident.
You got something bright orange on? All right, you're security.
There he is, going to town on a piece of fucking cake or something.
Yeah.
That's a very cool shot. I had never realized that before, the way it tracks him as he walks around. Oh, man. I remember having this soundtrack and listening to it a bunch.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah.
That's funny.
I fucking love the I don't even know how to describe it, man. I don't even know. It's not jazz. It's sort of like just cool. I don't know what genre it is.
It's just kind of like some kind of beat, some kind of I'm having
it feels like electronic with like almost like African drums or something.
Fusion, kind of like a fusion band.
Oh, man, I am just not. So as much as I love seeing this and, you know, the movie Casino of, like, shit going down in a casino, I fucking do not like casinos at all.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
I get a little weirded out when there's not a window to the outside world anywhere, you know?
Oh, God. This poor guy is sweating so much.
Oh, my God.
Who's that guy? That guy looks familiar. What was he in? The operator guy.
Ooh, I don't know.
He's familiar to me. And how the fuck am I going to find this guy? It's going to be ridiculous. That's not it. Deliver my Oh, here he is. Eye in the Sky Technician number 2. His name is David Jensen. He was in Benjamin Button, Moonlight Special, but there was something else. True Detective, 1 episode, no. What is he? Geostorm, no.
Man, this casino has to work on their cable management. Jeez.
What the fuck was he in? Last Exorcism Part 2. This is the end, no. Looper, no. Battleship, no. Like, I've seen all these movies, but, you know, when it's not the movie that you know him from,
Yes.
That's not it.
Where yep.
the fuck do I know him from?
And you'll think of it like 2 days from now. And then
oh, The Mist. Oh, he's one of the guys in The Mist. Like one of the... circus animals. He's... He, remember, he's the one that sees one of the monsters in, like, the back loading area.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the... That's yep. it. That's him.
Good call. Good call.
Slam dunk. All right, let's check some other trivia. Matt Damon's part was meant for Mark Wahlberg. He turned it down to star in Planet of the Apes.
Oof, bad choice. Dude, I honestly, for a while, I feel like the two of them were completely interchangeable.
Yeah.
Like, Matt Damon could have been in The Perfect Storm.
Absolutely.
I love how this guard does not question at all the fact that he has a smear of fucking ink on his forehead. It's like, huh, that's odd. Hey, want to tell me about that? Since I am working security? Fourth task, construction. We need to build an exact working replica of the Bellagio. See, like, I love this. Okay, and obviously, the first time I watched this, I can't tell you exactly how I felt, but...
Yeah.
Like, you get this, and you figure, okay, they're building a replica to practice, right? Because this is, like, a high-precision operation.
Yeah.
And it's like, no.
Yeah.
It has an entirely different purpose, but I love that shit. Clever. It's right there. It's just, you're thinking about it differently than, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, this is great.
Hell yeah. Yes, sir. Top of the line. Top of the line. Billy Tim Denham. Yes, that's it. Yeah, like the total Coen brother line there, just like the jeans, yeah. You know?
Oh, God. Fucking salesman. You moisturize?
I feel like this and the Bad Santa character are the same guy, though.
Oh, yeah.
Right? He just got into two different lines of employment. After this, he collected his money. He's like, what am I going to do? I'll be head of security at a mall.
Yeah, exactly. Just imagine your character in Ocean's 11 bet all his money away, and now he's a fucking security guard.
Yeah.
Action. That's why he takes the Metamucil, man.
Can't shake hands now.
No.
You gotta bow.
The guy with the ponytail gets it. Jesus, that's a horrible look. Cut back to that guy. Come on.
Yeah.
Where is he? That is awful. Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
He looks like the lead singer to Rush, but without the musical talent.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely. So are you sure
you're ready to do this? You speak to me like that again, Daniel. You will not wake up the following morning. That's right. You will not wake up the following
morning. All right. He's ready. Is Clooney done acting, or has he got anything coming up? Let's see. Man,
you know, so what we were talking about earlier with, like, the very specific kind of actor that you need for these roles.
Yeah.
So it's not like Clooney had done a lot up to this point. I mean, obviously ER, but that's TV. You know, TV is, in 2001, is very different than TV now.
Yeah.
Batman totally failed for him.
He but did this out of sight, though, with...
That's true.
Sonberg, that probably got him, that helped get him this, you know?
But not so much even that he got the role, but more just that audiences were so willing to buy him as the man in charge.
Oh, well, yeah, three kings, Oh Brother, Perfect Storm, and then Ocean's 11. So he was like the leader of a pack for those last two or three, those last three movies.
It's a pretty good run.
Like, he was in charge of the group for those last three movies.
Right.
It only made sense to have him do this too. He's got a movie coming out called The Midnight Sky, coming out this year. Clooney is directing. He's directing and acting.
Okay.
He's directing himself.
Did you ever see Good Night and Good Luck?
Yeah, I did.
I thought that was pretty good. Pretty good Robert Downey Jr. role in that too.
Yeah, I remember that like a really long. I'd have to revisit that, but that was a while ago. And I liked him in Tomorrowland. I love Tomorrowland. That's a fun movie for me. I like that one.
It's another one on my docket. I was meaning to just
purchase that Blu-ray at my local 7-Eleven at the discount cardboard bin.
Nice.
I'm like, ooh, fucking $5 Tomorrowland Blu-ray? I'll take it.
Okay, so we got a little while until some more shit gets set up here. So I've got a question for you. It's related to this based on the clamshell case thing, right?
Oh god.
So you're a collector. I was a collector, and you know, I've been kind of diving into getting back into special features on discs. Do you have a ranking of your DVD/Blu-ray collection, and if so, do you have like say a top five, or is there any one that comes to mind where it's like, you know, everything's on fire, you can only grab five of them? What are you grabbing? Why?
Oof.
And if you don't have an answer, let's just move on. Okay. Because this is a tough question. I respect that.
I'm going to grab my original trilogy Star Wars, which are burned copies of the original releases. So zero CGI. Like, Lucas didn't touch this at all. Like, that he did in the 90s, you know? So those are the first three I'm grabbing, because it's hard to find those copies anywhere. There's always the fucking Jabba scene,
right?
In A New Hope, that's always there. The Sarlacc pit in Return of the Jedi looks like fucking Seymour from Little Shop of Horrors. Like, it's terrible.
Yes.
So those three, I have a Iron Man DVD. It's like, it's flat, but it's the helmet, and you lift up the helmet, and the DVD's in there. So that one's pretty cool.
Nice.
Other than that, I don't have, like, favorite, like, cases or anything like that. It's just kind of, like, collecting and what means more. I know there's some stuff with, like, great special features. Like, Elf's got great special features because Favreau just kind of films everything behind the scenes, and they go over like the force perspective thing, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But as far as cases and special features, don't, it means a lot to me when it comes with special features, but I'm not I haven't ranked like what's the best, you know, quantity of special features on a DVD.
Yeah.
I'll probably grab the Blu-rays just because of the quality of the Blu-ray and stuff, but that's all. That's not in all the Blu-rays aren't together. It's still in alphabetical order of the DVD. So for me to bum rush my collection during a fire and be like A's, B,
right.
And you were a collector. Did you get rid of your collection?
Or did you just, I mean, I so it's funny because I still have maybe 10 discs, and so they're saved for like very specific reasons. Like, I don't really know why, the more I think about it, but I kept my Nolan Dark Knight trilogy because I had like the steelbooks for them. So I kept those. I kept, and I told you about this, but the Blu-ray for Showgirls, because it has the greatest movie commentary of all time.
Is that what it's called?
It is. It's literally called the greatest movie of all time. So
is Elizabeth Berkley on that too?
No. So here's what happened. So this, God, this is over 10 years ago now, but at some point MGM released a box set for Showgirls.
Yeah.
And they had it with like this poster and these fucking two suction cups pasties in a blindfold, and it was pin the pasties on the stripper. came with a deck of cards that we actually just retired a couple weeks ago because we finally found that they were just completely ratty and old. Had shot glasses in it, but on the disc was the movie and some other bullshit, and then there was this commentary called The Greatest Movie Ever Made by this comedian who plays it 100% straight for the duration that Showgirls is the greatest movie of all time.
That's funny.
It is fucking hilarious. And I haven't been able to rip the Blu-ray properly with the commentary on it. And that's the only reason why I've held on to that, because it has that commentary. Hold on.
Let me go see. Before I forget, I'm going to go grab Evil Dead. It's 5 feet away. Hold on. I want to see if Evil Dead 2. I want to see if it's on there, that commentary. Hold on.
Damn, dude. Oh, man. Anybody listening to this? This Ocean's 11 is a great, great movie. Great background movie. Great foreground movie. It's just a solid time. Get a lot of good A-list stars. Everybody's great in this. Music's awesome. Heist is good. Direction's good. Very solid recommendation.
You're solid. All right. I got Evil Dead 2 in my hands. Yep. And it has a commentary, though. So I don't know if there's more than one.
So I remember there was a copy of Evil Dead 2 that has a commentary with Bruce Campbell and Sam Raimi, and it might even be with Ted Raimi, too. And the whole time, the three of them are just ripping each other a new asshole, and it's one of the great commentaries.
So this one's with Sam Raimi, Bruce Campbell, and Scott Spiegel, or Spiegel.
I'm misremembering. That could be it.
What I can do is I can probably rip that audio track, and I'll send it to you, and if it's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
All right. All right, cool. I just wanted to grab that before I forgot.
You're the man.
I'm trying.
So, yeah. Trying to think of what other DVDs I have. I actually have a copy of Hotel Rwanda that I got signed by Don Cheadle.
Did he sign it, like, with a British accent?
No. Unfortunately.
That makes zero sense, but I'm laughing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, whatever. You gotta laugh when you're... I've got a copy of Dumb and Dumber signed by the Farrelly brothers that was addressed to me and my two brothers, which is pretty
How'd you get these signed, by the way?
The Farrelly brothers one, my dad had done work for a couple of their movies, because it seems like most of their movies, they film part of it in Rhode Island. So my dad sometimes gets some work thrown his way for that.
Okay.
The Don Cheadle thing, another job my dad was on, was in it was like this thing for AmeriCares. Right after Crash had come out, actually. And the real guy, his name's Paul Rusesa Beguina from Hotel Rwanda, was getting an award from AmeriCares, but he had used up all of his visa time actually doing humanitarian work.
Okay.
So he sent Don Cheadle on his behalf, and because my dad was producing the event and I was working it, I got 5 minutes to go backstage and meet Don Cheadle real quick and get him to sign the DVD, which was pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah. And then I think I've got I feel like I've got something else.
I would definitely grab my Cloverfield Steelbook.
Nice.
I'd definitely grab that.
Very nice.
That was my first Steelbook I've ever owned.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, so here's
I've got to tell you, I've been bitten slightly by the bug of, like, I'm considering starting up another physical media collection, but this time being kind of specific about what I buy, like not trying to get absolutely everything, but more like just have a pristine
copy. That's where I'm at right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like get get close to the IMDb top 100, make sure, you know, majority of those are in there. You know, if someone comes over, I want them to be like, oh shit, you got that. Not that like many people they're coming to my house like movies.
Right. Well, it's just like, especially with the way technology is now and, you know, accessibility to any of this stuff, I feel like it's always going to be relatively simple to get at. If I were approaching building a collection again, I'd be interested in, and you know, the first thing that I think of is like the Criterions.
Yeah.
Because those are the best. I mean, I was telling you about the Night of the Living Dead Criterion. That's one of the best just physical media purchases I think you can make. If you like that movie, that presentation is, first of all, you know it's the best, top-notch, perfect restoration of the film.
Yeah.
And then you know whatever they've curated to put on the disc is going to be top-notch, and it is.
I'm looking forward
to it. So it's just cool. Yeah, it's just cool to have that. Purchasing that. Yeah, I think if you're a fan, you'll be into it.
So we haven't talked about Julia Roberts yet, who I think is fantastic in this movie. Strong woman.
Yes.
Funny. She puts up with Clooney. But if we were to come out with this today, I don't know if she'd be the draw.
Well, I'll tell you this. I like one movie with Julia Roberts in it, and it is this movie. I do not fucking like her at all.
There's not many movies that I think I've seen her star in. Like I just said before, I've never seen Erin Brockovich.
Yeah.
I've never seen Pretty Woman, but I know scenes, right? Sure. Doesn't mean I've seen it though.
Yep.
Wasn't she in The Mexican with Brad Pitt?
Yeah. Yes.
My Best Friend's Wedding. I mean, I think I've just seen her in this Ocean's 12, and
I don't even think to she's me, she's a good example of somebody who was like a movie star, but not a very good actress. Like she was just popular because she did one specific kind of thing, and it's not for me.
Yeah.
So I just don't care.
But she's great in this, though.
She's good in this, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's just nothing else. I mean, let's see here. You know, you start looking through a fucking filmography, and it's like Larry Crown, Love, Wedding, Marriage, Eat, Pray, Love, Valentine's Day. Like, I'm out. I'm out. Yeah. You know, I'm not going any further.
You read four titles and stuff you haven't seen. I kind of like this. It's just the soundtrack. There's no audio at all.
Yes.
And that's a great
very soundtrack. Stylish. So that shot
which one?
Is the one of Clooney looking back while everyone else is looking behind him.
Yeah.
I think that's a reference to a shot in a Hitchcock movie called Strangers on a Train.
Okay.
So there's, you've probably seen Throw Mama from the Train, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so same premise, basically. Throw Mama from the Train is a comedic remake of Strangers on a Train. But
gotcha.
The two characters in the original, one of them's a tennis pro, and the other is just the guy who came up with the idea while they were on the train. Mm-hmm. So there's a sequence where the tennis pro, he's playing tennis, and the other guy's sitting in the crowd staring straight ahead, and the entire crowd is moving their heads left and right. Like following the volley.
Yeah. Oh.
He's just got his eyes dead set on the one tennis pro.
I think I've seen that clip. That sounds familiar.
Yeah. Pretty good movie. Especially for the early Hitchcock stuff. That one, it's also got this fucking wild sequence at the end where he actually threw an extra underneath this carousel as it was spinning out of control. And the carousel is like, it almost takes the guy's head off. It's an incredible sequence.
All right, Logan. Let's see what you got. Look at me!
You fucking dick.
Oh, yeah, wait. This isn't Logan. We got this guy, right? He's hired. The real guy.
Right. That's right.
He didn't have to be British at all. Unless it was just for this wordplay. So unless we intend to do this job in Reno, we're in Barney.
I love that because they have a shorthand and they're fine with it. But like as soon as he starts doing it,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't know if I'm picking that up. The pinch. more longer this goes on, the more I realize this actually has a lot more in common with the Sting. So there's the whole idea of like a slang or vernacular that
don't spoil it.
the thieves are using that nobody else knows about is very prevalent in the Sting.
Okay. Hiroshima.
You sounded just like Don Cheadle right there.
Right? Looks like they're in fucking Home Depot, like a stock room or some shit. I'm drinking Arnold Palmer with some Tito's.
Nice.
I picked up the 99-cent giant Arizona Arnold Palmer can with my beers that I picked up
today. A buddy of mine used to collect Arizona cans.
Well, why?
I don't know.
Like, but he did. the same can over and over again, or different
makes? Yeah, he just collected. Anybody, if you were, this was a high school thing, but if you were out and you grabbed yourself an Arizona iced tea, and when you were done with it, he'd be like, hey, man, why didn't you do anything with that?
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody would say, no, I'm going to recycle it. And he'd be like, oh, cool. So you want to just send that here? And we would. So I really don't get it, but, you know. He did it. So I don't know. It's a little weird.
Yeah. That's funny.
That's funny. He's a good guy. He's a good guy.
Good.
Yeah, he's the best. Everybody knows
it. See, this is me. Why the fuck am I gonna wait here? I'm fucking going.
Right.
I'm impatient.
Right.
I don't want to be left out in something that I'm interested in. I mean, you could leave me out of fucking family parties and weddings and funerals. I don't want to go.
Everybody's being heisty inside. Why am
They're
I
so heisty, here? Right?
I love the way this device looks. It is such bullshit.
It's like the arc reactor.
Why is it filled with piss? And whose piss is it? You know, like
it's Brad's piss. Oh Jesus!
Oh
my God! Joke was the pits. Oh God! Someone stop me!
I gotta take a shower now from the douche chills.
God, please! For the love of nothing.
Nah, it's.
I should just stop. I'm going to just stop right now. Jesus, Damon.
Okay, every time somebody breaks a window in a movie or TV show, I just feel like if it was me, I would just cut myself and it'd be
fine. Oh, my God. Absolutely.
You know, you throw the chair through, but, like, you would leave this jagged edge that you then just you don't know what to do with. And try to jump over it, you slip.
Your blood's everywhere, DNA, you're arrested in 24 hours. He's such a goofball. Good job, security. Oh. Oh, you fucks!
Oh, man.
There you are. And all your screens.
Yeah, actually, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
And I definitely would have a briefcase like that. Look at all those tools.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Fuck it.
What about, now I know it's we're in Vegas and I'm thinking of Hangover. I could see Bradley Cooper being the lead of the pack.
Yeah.
If he plays it like dead serious though. Like he can't be Hangover, you know. Cocky motherfucker.
Yeah.
Almost like limitless.
I can see that.
And then we get Meth Damon, right?
Yeah, exactly. Perfect.
Chasing Benedict's girl. The two of them got in an argument
Not sure how I feel about the top button unbuttoned with a tie on. I don't think I like that.
Who's rocking it?
Pitt.
Oh, Pitt right there.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you something. With someone with a fat neck like me, sometimes you just can't button that top button.
Listen. Okay. Listen. Nobody understands that better than I do. But what I'm saying is, you don't wear the fucking tie like that. You tighten that shit up so that nobody notices.
Well, he may have had a rough day and he just pulled it down. Like, it's there at the end of the day.
Take the tie off. Are you relaxing or are you formal? Like, fucking make a decision.
His shirt, though, is very Marty McFly, Back to the Future 2 hat.
That look reminds me of fucking Half Ratings. You know, just make a goddamn decision.
That shirt is definitely a 6.5. Wait, is that what
exactly.
You're saying?
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. It's fucking terrible.
I like Andy Garcia. He is definitely versatile in his roles. Like he's either like an Italian mob guy, and I want to say he played like a Spanish cartel guy in a movie. I forget what movie it was.
I think you're right.
I want to say it was Felon. I could be wrong. Hold on. I'm probably wrong. It's probably not Felon. Let me see.
I mean, I know he shows up in a lot of stuff as Law, like the
Jim Law.
oh my God, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a police officer or a investigator or something. God damn it.
Jim Law?
Jim Law. He shows up as Jim Law everywhere.
All right, because he was in Confidence. You remember Confidence? I remember that movie. That was a very blockbuster on sale DVD all the time. I remember you guys were talking about that.
Oh, yes. Okay, yep.
What movie was he in? I remember him. He was... Oh, God. He was in Smoking Aces.
Yeah, and he was the head of the fucking FBI in that.
He was in something recently. Oh, was it Kill the Messenger? Maybe it was Kill the Messenger. I think it was maybe Kill the Messenger. I don't remember. Hell, I don't know.
Hell, I don't know.
Ghostbusters. He was the mayor in the Ghostbusters remake. Or the 2016 Ghostbusters, starring Kristen Wiig.
Right. God, I don't remember much from that.
He was in The Mule.
Okay.
He's got a lot of shit coming up, too. All right, where are we now? Here we go. We're on fight night?
We're fucking getting into it now.
All right. Mr. Zerga.
My name is Lyman Zerga.
Andy Garcia has zero patience for this guy right now. It's so funny. He does not want to deal with this fucking guy. But he's a high roller, right? Give me the briefcase. Half. I love Scott Conn and Casey Affleck. Saul Bloom. Is this the helicopter pilot from Uncut Gems?
I hope it's the same guy.
Oh my God, imagine.
I don't want to look it up because I just want it to be the same guy. So I'm just going to say it's the same guy.
What was his name he just said?
Oh, I don't fucking know, dude.
It's me. It's Gumbies. It's about the 11 oceans.
It's all about the sequel. They abandoned an ocean, so there were 12 of them.
It's about 11 bodies of water. No big deal. No big deal. Great movie. Great. Why not? Oh, shit. My brother-in-law reminds me of Andy Garcia. Not, like, looks-wise. Not, like, gangster.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Does anybody in here remind me of anyone? I don't know. I have to think about that. Nobody comes to mind immediately.
No, I mean, I don't have any friends that look like Brad Pitt.
Yeah. I feel like you'd know.
Oh, he'd know.
See, like, this is really smart, okay? Look at the car. They're in the SWAT van right now, but you don't know it until later.
Yeah.
It's just, it's really clever. I love the way that all of this is thought out. I don't know if you give credit to Soderbergh or the writer, but...
guess you got to give it to everybody, but you know, Soderbergh at the end of the day is the director, and he's got final say. And you said the original movie is nothing like this, so it's not like they were stealing heist bits, right, off of them.
No. I love the setup. I love the setup. I love everything in motion here. It's just so well made.
Yeah, editing must have been a fucking monster for this.
Yeah,
holy shit. Just like, where do we piece this together? Right? Because it can kind of go out of order a little bit. But it's just, I think it's perfect.
They've got to have some really impressive storyboards to keep this straight.
Absolutely. There's so many players. There's so many things that you want to show to the audience. There's so many things you want to keep from the audience. Hmm. Sure. Let's check some special features on this old fucking Snapcase here. Oh. All right, behind the scenes documentaries, HBO First Look, The Making of Ocean's 11, and The Look of the Con. Two feature length audio commentaries, one with Matt Damon, Andy Garcia, and Brad Pitt. The other with Soderbergh and screenwriter Ted Griffin. Both of those sound pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, Brad Pitt and Damon and Andy Garcia on a commentary?
That's pretty awesome.
That's pretty great.
Okay, hold on a second.
Yeah.
So I just saw you posted something on Instagram about our little recording session here.
Yeah.
And have we ever talked about the fact that you and I own the same Lord of the Rings glass?
I just found this yesterday.
Oh my god, dude.
In like a closet. Now, who do you have though?
So mine is Aragorn.
Mine too!
Oh my god, we have the same fucking glass! Oh my god! So, I don't know if you remember this, it originally came with a plastic base.
The plastic base is on it.
It's on yours? Okay, yeah. Mine's been missing forever.
And mine lights up.
Oh, fucking it. Okay, mine's incomplete. I thought it looked good. Yeah, you're right. The beast. Oh, that's fucking awesome.
They send you a phone. Hilarious. Light up. Okay, so Michelle, we went to like a Goodwill, and this was still in the box, unopened, and she bought it. Maybe I think she wanted to buy it just to like resell it or something because she thought it was cool. And then I was in like a closet the other day, and I saw it there, and I'm like, how did I not just take this? And then I threw it in the dishwasher, came out this morning, boom, it's my new binge media glass now. It was Stranger Things, and now it's going to be this goblet because it lights up.
That's so awesome.
Right, I just sent you the picture of it lit up.
Yes.
That's amazing that you have it.
Let's see. Oh, yes, dude. Oh, my God. I would grab mine. I think mine is actually put away right now.
You don't have like a signature binge media glass that you drink out of when you record?
I don't have a signature glass because I'm usually hitting a can or something, but I have I have a couple that I rotate depending on what I'm drinking. Yeah. So one of them, somebody bought me one year for Christmas, was one of those, I think it's called an ale horn, but it's made out of like the horn of an animal. It's a fucking stein. Yeah, it's pretty cool. That's there's that. There's, you know, there's so many fucking breweries around now. I've got a couple of tasting glasses from those I usually use. Nothing really assigned to a podcast. Mm.
I usually drink out of this Stranger Things pint glass, and it has like the alphabet on
it. Oh, okay.
Yeah. But now that I found this Lord of the Rings goblet, I mean, come on. Stranger Things is TV. Lord of the Rings is a movie. This is like my only movie glass that I have. Besides all my gazillion Star Wars glasses from
McDonald's. Well, that's my problem, right? Like the reason that my Lord of the Rings glass is put away is because I have too many and I don't want to get rid of them.
I know.
So like when I have a house of my own, when I have a bar of my own, such as yours, I actually have a place to put those glasses, you know?
If you need help.
Yeah, absolutely. But I've got a box full of them, and it's in there with those.
Okay.
This is
fantastic. White Jack. That's fantastic. Might as well call White Jack. David plays it great, though, too. Look how young he is here, though. This is like Ripley. Yeah. Talented Mr. Ripley. David.
I love the fucking... We missed it, but the moment where David's like... He's like, apparently he's got a record longer than my, it's long. Just say that.
Look at these two on the cart together. Like it needs two.
Right.
Hold it.
Why is every one of their interactions a fucking fight? Like that's part of the plan.
Yeah. It's his stuff. I just love that whole exchange with nobody's face. It was all like pelvic region.
I would love to see, maybe there's an interview with Soderbergh somewhere where he talks about the influences for this, because it just seems like he develops this whole style in this movie that like I feel like a lot of other movies
ate. Panning. Happens. He pans a lot.
There's a lot of that, but there, like I said, the way that communication between characters happens and there's just a lot of stylistic choices in here that I wonder where they came from.
Like yeah.
He just sort of thought them up, or if he was referencing stuff from, you know, older heist movies or something.
Well, I'll try to do my due diligence to try to listen to these commentaries and see if I should have done it. Well, I didn't have time. Like I said, an hour before we started.
Oh, yeah.
Before we hit record, we decided on this movie. So
that's right.
And I can't believe you haven't seen 12. So you have movie homework, son.
Get to it at some point.
I wonder how tall Bernie Mac was. Let's see. Craig!
At least 5 feet.
What do you think?
At least 5 feet.
At least. Bernie Mac height. 6'2".
Okay. So I was right.
Yeah, absolutely. What about Andy Garcia? He's got to be real tiny.
I don't know. He's. I'd probably say he's at least
5'10". He's taller than me. I'm the tiny one. God damn it. 5'10"? Andy Garcia? It's crazy. Yeah, Matt Damon height. What do you think Damon's height is?
5'11".
5'10".
Mm.
Brad Pitt height. What do you think?
6'2".
4'10". No, 5'11". Imagine he was 4'11".
So that's why he was in the running to be Frodo.
That's why he's Benjamin Button.
Right.
George Clooney height. He's got to be 5'11". Nobody's 6 foot yet. Oh, wait. Was Bernie Mac 6 feet? I don't remember.
6'2", right?
Yeah, 6'2". Over. Dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum. Joseph Coyle.
I love bullshit technology in movies.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Oh. Oh, shit.
Looks like he's got the top button unbuttoned as well.
Yeah.
But his is, you know, tightened up a little bit.
I forgot. Isn't that, that should be. Oh, no, that's Bubba. That's Jamal's work buddy right there.
Right.
Right.
How are the kids?
When was Snatch released? Do you remember? Was it 2001?
I think it might have been.
Another giant on. Yeah, 2001.
Yeah.
Another giant ensemble cast Brad Pitt was a part of. Mr. Zaga.
All right, now it gets a little Mission Impossible-y, right?
Yeah. I was watching, speaking of Blu-ray Mission Impossible special features, Mission Impossible Fallout special features. Just going over how fucking crazy Tom Cruise is with that Halo jump he does and all that stuff.
It's funny, stuff. Man. Again, we're going to date this podcast a little bit, but this is one of those that, like, at this point, I haven't seen it. I don't care to. I've never seen Top Gun, and yet I'm interested in seeing the second Top Gun just because I feel like Tom Cruise is going to do some crazy shit in there.
In Top Gun?
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to do anything as crazy as he does in Mission.
Oh, I agree. Oh, but at the same time, there is a certain draw to the fact that, like, he's going to really be in one of those jets, you know?
Oh, well,
like, I feel like that'll be worth it to see in the IMAX.
Flew the helicopters in Fallout.
Right, right.
He's fucking...
He's nuts.
Love Tom Cruise. And you haven't seen War of the Worlds. Any reason?
No reason.
Okay. A lot of people hate it. There's the guy from The Mist.
Yeah. I just love that nobody notices Casey Affleck or Scott Conn ever. Like, they're always together in this entire hotel. Casino. They're always fighting.
That wig. Look at these two. Who would these two guys be in Benjamini? We don't have any twins. There's no twinning and... That could be like Batch and it's definitely Batch.
Batch?
Batch and Batch, right? Batches. A batch of batches?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know who I think the only one we left out was like Goudreau and Tom. Yeah. Well, Tom could also be Elliot Gould too, because he's like sports betting at the Oh, no, not Elliot Gould. I'm sorry. The Reiner. Because he's like,
I can see that.
He's horse betting, right?
Yeah.
That could be him. And Tom has, you know, a couple stomach issues, right? So he takes his Tums.
Right. So jealous.
I don't know who Goudreau could be. Sorry, Goudreau. You're going to have to be blackjack player number three, I think.
Goudreau's Andy Garcia. Super serious, right?
Super serious, super smart.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
That checks out. There's the piss bomb.
I could see you being Andy Garcia as well.
I could see that.
Like, no bullshit.
That's right.
If it's not funny, I'm not laughing. I'm not even going to pretend. Oh, there's Chad C. Oh, there was a Chad C. Like three seats down from Andy Garcia.
Oh, my God. I love that move.
Well, stand there. Right?
I mean, I would turn, right? Like, come on.
I would go, like, a little further back, maybe by the Eiffel Tower over there. Yeah, we forgot Chad C, too. Sorry, Chad. Leo DiCaprio and Emile Hirsch are not in this movie, so
yeah,
you're not in it.
Boom, boom. Oh, that always bothered me.
What is it?
So Matt Damon cracks his glow sticks, but he only cracks half of them, and it's like, oh, you gotta crack the other side. Then it cuts to fully cracked glow sticks, and it doesn't matter, and it's like, well, it's continuity here, but whatever.
Yeah, this is total mission.
Right under the wire, dog. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
Pandemonium. Lennox Lewis. So he was a real boxer.
Yeah.
Was he on? I feel like he was on a podcast not too long ago. Maybe Joe Rogan within the last year.
I don't know. Jesus, pandemonium. Oh,
she got the fucking clothesline that the dude earlier in the movie did.
Elliot Gould in the background. I don't know.
Yeah.
This is this is crazy. How am I supposed to fucking breathe in here?
Who put a fucking briefcase on this? What the fuck? What's a part of the planet? And where is it?
Logan is our resident small screen heroes host. And some say he has a high voice.
Some do.
Some. Not all.
Others don't have to say it. It's just known.
Look at this little thing. That's me. I'm so impatient. Let's go. Fucking open it. God damn it. All right, so we'll do Ocean's 12 after this, and we'll catch your first viewing.
Nice.
Yeah.
So there's been a trend in the last, God, I want to say, especially the last 6-7 years, but ever since like first Avengers and Fast Five, where it's always a team now, right? Like there's no the whole like single hero saves the day thing is kind of rare with Hollywood movies.
Well, someone was yelling at me on a binge cast about, was it you with James Bond?
Yeah, One Man Army. Yeah, that's right. We were talking about this, but I never really thought about it. But Ocean's 11 is kind of one of the first of these.
Well, what about the Sting?
Well, yes, but I think in a different way. Like, the Sting is very much driven by Redford and Newman.
Okay.
They use a crew, but this is like an ensemble of a lot of A-listers.
A-listers. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Mission turned into that. But I wouldn't say he's pulling A-listers, though, Cruise. Right? Simon Pegg's probably not A-list. And Rebecca Ferguson is not A-list.
Well, I kind of disagree with that. I mean, I think that at the time,
if I asked, if I told
guys my, were not No. Hold on. Okay, yeah, no. When this was made, these guys were not all A-list, but they are now, you know?
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, like it's just a very stacked. Actually, kind of the same thing as Snatch. Like it's just an incredibly stacked cast.
Yeah.
But
nowadays, it's A-list. I mean, if you really want to talk ensemble, you look at the Avengers and shit like that. That's
A-list, right.
Right. Jeez, Luke, scared the shit out of me.
Come on, Luke.
What are you doing, Bush? Come up here. Come up with that. Come up here. We're watching How's Ocean's 11. It's the heist now. Let's go. Or the fake heist. Or the real heist. Come on. Yeah. I love all these gadgets.
Yeah.
I love how he just keeps clicking it.
Yeah. It's like the Joker when he blows up the hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You fucking dick!
Oh, God. Terrible.
You gotta check the battery.
I mean, of course you would bring him, but like, it's just funny that he has a pack of batteries.
Yeah. I love how fast he hits the button once the batteries are in.
Yeah.
What are you doing down there? My dog's just staring at me right now. Come on, come up here. Come on, Ocean's 11. Let's go. He doesn't care. Does not care about this movie.
Oh, he's got no idea.
He has zero care. He likes the remake better. He likes Ocean's 8 better.
No, now, really?
Do we know if Ocean's 8 is related to like this movie?
It is.
Like someone's related?
There is. Yep. There's a connection.
What's the connection?
It's a spoiler.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't find out about it on purpose. Somebody mentioned it in conversation. I was just like, oh, really? Is that what happens in Ocean's 8? They're like, have you not seen it? I'm like, yeah.
Oh, because, they have the same last name.
Yep.
Sandra Bullock's character has the same last name as Daniel Ocean, but that doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Either, because they could just change it to, her name's Debbie Ocean.
I know that there's a different character that's shared.
Oh, so it is related, and these films, it's canon. It's canon.
It's canon. Ocean's it's Ammon. It's Ammon.
It's canon.
It's Ammon.
What the fuck is happening right now?
Ammon would be kind of the worst on this heist.
Ammon would have to be not involved.
Nah, he would. You know what he would be? He would be involved. Everyone would know but him. But his role is huge. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he wasn't there, we couldn't be able to pull this off. But we're keeping the heist from him. But he still He'd gets his cut.
Yes, he'd have to distract at one point. Fucking Ammon. So I was keeping this close to the vest until it actually happened, but Ammon and I were supposed to have a little secret palooza in a couple of weeks. I was going to Seattle for a conference, and unfortunately,
I like to call it Seattle.
Exactly,
because you see,
I was going to see Ammon. But it has unfortunately been canceled. So.
Why? What's going on?
I don't know. Small little thing, you know.
Viral campaign happening?
Somebody's got a cold and all of a sudden we got to shut down the airports. You know, it's just ridiculous.
See, that's the guy from The Mist, bottom right.
Yep.
I want 160 mil in my vault.
Yeah, same.
Speaking of money and Brad Pitt, I think me, you, and Tom are going to do a Moneyball commentary at some point.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Is that you? I thought you were you involved in that?
I don't know. If it's not me, then that's fine. But did I just add you? I think you just added me.
But I'm not supposed to add you.
Probably not.
No, it's at, your name is there.
My name's there?
Yeah. Are you sure?
All right, cool.
What was the last didn't me, you, and Tom just do a commentary?
Did we? I don't think so.
Who's in charge of this show? God damn it.
Great question. But whoever is, if they put my name in there, I'm good with that.
All right, hold on, hold on. Yeah, why, I don't know why your name's there, but you're there, dude.
Hey, look, I'm
maybe,
a fan of that.
Maybe movie. I did it by mistake, but do you want to do Moneyball?
Yeah, sure. You got a weird way of asking people to do commentaries, man.
I just drop a time and a place and
right.
Flick.
Yeah, we're doing this, right?
I don't know why your name is there. You know what? I think you said that you really like that. No. You said you really like that movie, and it's something that you rewatch a ton, right?
I do.
Yeah. And Tom's never seen it yet.
Oh, all right.
So I think that's why I just threw you on. You're on.
It's good mix.
So now that MLB is like postponed or something, so we'll wait till it repones. Repones.
Reboot the MLB.
And then maybe we'll do the commentary. We'll do Moneyball around then.
Nice.
Yeah. And Law and I, this month, we're time dating the hell out of this, but I don't care.
Whatever.
You know what? It's a piece of history, right? People know when this took place.
Correct.
Right? We were supposed to do A Quiet Place this month for the Quiet Place 2 release. But that is now on hold, and there has been no release date. So there's no rush for Law and I to record that.
Yep.
So.
That one sucked. It was.
I know, man. Well, I was supposed to be in Disney and Universal Studios, Florida, in 2 weeks.
Yep.
And that got shut down, so I'm not going.
Damn. So.
Yep. We had to cancel flights, 2 hotels, 2 parks. And a partridge in a pear tree. Our pets' heads are falling off.
Yeah. The only good thing with all that shit is that, and I don't know if this has been your experience, but it seems like everybody is very reasonable and, you know, with all of their policies.
If you can get in touch with them, everyone has been reasonable.
Yeah.
But, you know, my wife was so upset, and I'm like, listen. It's not like we're missing out on something that is going on and open. Right. No one can go. So
Correct. It's
not a big deal, you know. I still got commentary. I could still hang out with my friends on the internet.
Right, exactly.
That's why I'm doing this on a Saturday night, baby.
I believe it.
Oh, my God.
I'll say Jesus. I'll say this, I picked a hell of a year to buy tickets to go to see a lot of shows. Let me tell you.
Speaking of, I just want to add to all the things I canceled. We were also going to 3 shows, 2 concerts, and we were going to see Pee Wee Herman at the Beacon Theater in New York. We were going to watch Pee Wee's Big Adventure and then a Q&A with Paul Rubens afterwards.
That got canceled. It has the official word has not come out yet, but I have tickets for Louis C.K. April 1st or 2nd, whatever the Saturday is.
Oh.
In Boston. So I'm sure that's getting canceled or postponed.
Yeah.
The next show is the last weekend of May, Memorial Day weekend in May, actually. And that's the Boston Calling Festival. I'm going Saturday to see Rage and Run the Jewels.
Yeah.
And they sent out an email today saying that they're closely monitoring the situation, but they haven't said if they're canceling or not, but that would be disappointing.
I know.
And then I've got like at least 1 to 2 concerts every month this year. So I'm hoping that things clear up sooner rather than later, but you know, it is what it is.
It sucks.
It does.
We had so many events from right now, it's mid-March all the way to the end of March. like big things, like I said, trips to Florida and these
yep.
two concerts and one and Pee Wee's Big Adventure. But whatever. I think we're going to do September Universal for the Horror Nights, which I'm a huge fan of. Come with us. Come with us.
I'm not a haunted house guy, but I would definitely go to that.
I'll hold your hand.
No, it's not my thing, dude. It's not my thing. But I would definitely go there for the Horror Nights.
Okay. A lot of fun. Or do a New Jersey and New York trip.
Yeah, that's going to happen. It's going to figure it out.
Yeah.
I love that.
This guy's been stuff. He looks like a character actor.
He looked a bit like fucking Kenny Banya from Seinfeld.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
I don't think it's him, though.
No, it's not him, but it looks like. He's like a dime store Kenny Banya.
This would be a fucking. This would be a John Cena role right now. That guy. Who's like in everything. He's in fucking commercials and movies. I can't stand to see his goddamn face. I would never say that to his face, but I don't want to see his face.
Dude, there's a fucking trajectory to being a WWF superstar, WWE now, where like,
it's still WWE.
If you hit the right way, right, but like, if you hit the right way, you do like 10 years of movies, most of them suck, and then you just become like Hulk Hogan or The Rock, or now it's going to be John Cena
or
Batista. You know, there's definitely a fucking career path there.
Absolutely. So, what's his name? Bruiser in this movie?
Mm. Yeah.
Right? The big guy?
Yep.
His birthday is in 2 days.
Oh.
Just looked. His name is
Scott Bruiser.
His name is Scott Schwartz.
Nice.
So happy birthday, Scott Schwartz, if you you know,
find yourself here.
Yeah. Next time, Scott, we see you're in Ocean's 13. So if we ever do that commentary, please join us, because it seems like you may be the only guy we can get out of this cast. Not that that's a bad thing. We'd love to have you. I mean, I loved Brad Pitt's career, Snatch, Seven, you know, and up to this point, we have Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Not that he needed a resurgence, but it was almost like a fan resurgence of Brad Pitt once he did Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Not that he needed it, and not that I needed to give him the resurgence, but it just made me kind of backtrack to his career and be like, I fucking love this guy. This guy's fantastic. He's making great choices. I don't know about Ad Astra, but he's a solid actor. He seems like a solid dude just having fun in Hollywood, especially with all the promos that him and DiCaprio were doing together. They just seemed like fucking best buds.
Well, the two of them are, to me, like pretty much the same kind of actor. Like, they did a lot of bullshit, right, early on.
Yeah.
They hit with decent, you know, decent films for, you know, Titanic and obviously like Brad Pitt shows up in Thelma and Louise, but, you know, Seven's kind of, I think, his coming out party in a big way.
Yeah.
And they got to a certain point where they just said, you know what, fuck it. I'm only going to work with interesting directors. And that's all they do. And
smart.
It yields pretty good result. I mean, I don't love Ad Astra. I'm not a huge fan of that, but I like the fact that he tried to do that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's not at all the typical A-list action movie kind of thing.
I didn't see it, so I really can't say much about it, but it
didn't
look appealing to me, I'll tell you that.
Let's just say it is pretty much note for note another very famous movie that you've probably already seen.
Okay.
But
did I have my hand in what? I love that this is like the outfit Clooney's wearing is pretty much exactly what he was wearing leaving the jail in the beginning.
Right.
Bow tie on the side.
Yeah.
What is Garcia wearing underneath that jacket? It's a vest, but it's like really high up.
Yeah, that's
like you don't even need the tie there.
Yeah, I'm not really sure about that. Not sure I can sanction that.
Hey, stop staring at me and come sit up here. I'm yelling at my dog on a podcast. That was me yelling at him, by the way. I don't know if you.
Hey, maybe you needed to get yelled at. You know?
Maybe I need to tone it down a little bit. There he is. There's the guy. There's the guy. George Clooney. George Clooney's in this. He doesn't know who George Clooney is. The younger generation really doesn't, you know? Do you think a high school kid now would know who George Clooney is?
Oh, interesting. Right now.
Yeah, right now.
I don't know.
Right? I don't think they would know. Man.
Yeah.
Let's see. What would be the last movie? What would be a movie that they wouldn't know from Hail Caesar?
No, definitely not.
Maybe Tomorrowland, but I feel like they wouldn't even. I don't even know if that even made the viewers.
He hasn't really been relevant.
Gravity?
In a while.
But he was in and out of Gravity.
Yeah, I guess Gravity, yeah.
You know what? I don't know if they would know. Honestly. Unless the Ocean's movie, you know, the Ocean trilogy has legs. Mm-hmm. Kind of like how, you know, music. I don't know why, but people still love Third Eye Blind. Oh, shit.
Oh,
look at that vest. How that vest is way high, Garcia.
Yeah, I don't really understand.
It's almost like a bulletproof vest is underneath that.
I mean, maybe that could be a reason.
Maybe it's a bulletproof suit vest.
Mm. Yeah, that just sounds bad.
Like, it's that the vest is covering the knot of the tie. It's not a good look. AG. Is he Andy? Oh, he's anonymous movie guy. Andy movie guy. Andy movie Garcia. I'm trying. I'm really.
You are. You're doing your best. Okay, so.
Yeah, go.
So.
Save me, please.
How much of this story can I tell on a recording?
Oh, God.
90%. God. Okay, 90% of it I can tell you off air. All right.
So that means you were part of a Las Vegas casino heist? Is that where this is going?
I'll just say this. There was a moment where a friend and I were in a situation where I was driving a car and I had picked him up and we were driving away from somewhere. And the only appropriate thing to do in that moment was to play this song while driving away. I can explain the context of that off air. So,
can you say the place you were before it?
Nope.
It was a Blockbuster. It was Blockbuster, wasn't it? You fucking movie freak. You stole Twizzlers. And 51st Dates, previously viewed DVD. You're not saying anything. Did I nail it?
I'm not sure
what
there's anything to say.
It was buy two for $20. Is that what it was? Buy two for 20? Or three for 20? It was 51st Dates. It was.
I do not recall.
Allegedly, no. You know,
I do not recall.
It was 51st Date. I'm trying to think of the three movies because you were really knocking them out of the park.
Blockbuster, the bargain bin Blockbuster stuff.
The bargain bin, the ones that sat there for years.
There was one called Breach with Ryan Felipe.
Oh, I own Breach, and guess what? It was a fucking Blockbuster purchase. It was Chris Cooper.
Children of Men.
Oh, yeah. I fucking love Children of Men.
Unthinkable with Samuel L. Jackson.
Yes,
was one of them.
And Michael Sheen.
Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium.
Nobody bought that. No one bought that. Every time I fucking saw it, I go, oh, is this the one that Heath Ledger was in last? Nope. Every time I saw it, I got faked out.
Yeah. Still not worth $5.
No. I remember 50 First Dates. Like, there was always a gazillion copies of that.
The Mist. Yeah, there were
and that
tons
red
of
sticker that just said $12.99 on it.
Yeah.
Or $9.99. Yep. Confidence was one.
Yeah, you're right.
That was with Dustin Hoffman and Ed Burns and Rachel Weisz.
Hey, yo.
What was that? Have you ever been to Las Vegas?
No.
No, huh? Is it some place you want to go to, or being that it's all casinos, that you don't care?
No, I'd definitely like to see it, yeah, for sure. I it's likely that sometime in the next couple of years I'll end up there on a work trip because one of our big conferences is in Vegas every year.
Oh, okay.
And we send people to it every year, so I probably will end up there at some point.
Right.
Yeah. No, I'd like to see it just to, you know. There's a lot of different places in this country I'd just, you know, like to at least be exposed to.
Yeah. And there it is.
That's a great scene. I do love this scene. This was another one of those songs, though, that popped up in a bunch of different movies and TV shows after this.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Claire de Lune.
How do you like that title card? 3 to 6 months.
Like, yeah, gets a laugh.
Look at this collar. How dated is this guy right now?
Yeah.
Like, this is very like Justin Timberlake look when he was in NSYNC. The frameless glasses, collar outside the suit jacket. I hope you were the groom. Goatee. He's got every NSYNC... he called him out on it. I'd get that suit so dirty. That, like, khaki suit. No belt.
I don't get the no belt, dude.
No belt. His abs are just holding it in.
Ugh, living on the edge, dude.
Yeah. Oh boy. Hey.
Ugh.
She kind of, with the glasses there, do you ever see that guy on YouTube where he's like, come look at the tree? Do you ever see that guy? He's a voice. He plays he's the voice of the wife in Bob's Burgers.
Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah.
Well, he plays this character on YouTube. He plays like a mom on YouTube. It's just like a typical Jersey, Staten Island mom, like she gets like a Christmas tree. It's like, come look at the tree. Turn on my tree. Like, she just kind of looked like her in the background there. Look at these two Goomba. Batches. The batch of batch. There he goes. So is this Jersey or is this Nevada, this jail? Because he came out of a Jersey jail, I think, in the beginning.
This should be Jersey. It should be the same jail.
Is it jail? Is it
because he's in violation of his parole.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Fucking Jersey, eh?
Fucking Jersey boys.
That's it. Steven Soderbergh.
Nice.
Directed Contagion, as you said earlier.
Oh, Jesus.
What? I can't bring it up? You fucking cocksucker.
You can do whatever you want, you know?
Oh, man, Jack. Thanks for... joining me and picking this out, man. This was perfect. I had a lot of fun. I love, you know, if it's a movie that I've seen a gazillion times, I don't really need the rewatch, so that was perfect.
Yeah, it's good timing. Good time. This movie's always a good time. I know I said it earlier while you were grabbing something, but...
Yeah, I was grabbing, yeah.
This is a fucking good movie. I think it holds up. I think it's very rewatchable. It's still entertaining. It's still got a lot of great moments, and surprisingly, I don't know, I find myself like remembering a lot of quotes from it every time I watch it. So still, it holds up. This is a good flick.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun and a lot of great actors in it. Like you said, it's A-list now, all of them. Yep. So
very stacked.
Well, I hope everyone enjoyed it. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for all the shows on BingeMedia.net. So, Jack, thank you, buddy, and I will see you on the next con. Maybe Moneyball. I don't know. You're invited.
Maybe. Apparently, I'm in.
You're in. We're halfway through. You're doing a great job.
There we go. Oh, fuck.
See you.
So sporty.
No sports right now. No.
You've been listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network at BingeMedia.net. Support the show by donating on Patreon at Patreon.com/BingeMedia. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Buy some merch at BingeMedia.net/shop. Subscribe to our newsletter at BingeMedia.net/newsletter. And don't forget,
I didn't stop giving hand jobs because I was good at it. I stopped giving hand jobs because I was the best at it.
Ready or not, here I come. Suck my balls.